WTAW News Time is 8:05 at 65 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Merry Maids. Call 979-595-1111 or go to merrymaids.com. Merry Maids, relax, it's done. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. A report of a suspicious vehicle in the Copperfield subdivision ended as a four-vehicle crash outside Sam Houston Elementary School yesterday morning. Bryan Police Officer Kelly McKeithen says the suspicious U-Haul fled from officers who didn't want to chase it through the neighborhood or school zone.
So other officers got into the area near the exits, hoping that that vehicle would come out and they could then try to make a stop on that vehicle. Instead, the vehicle was over there by the elementary school and had a head-on collision with two vehicles, causing one of those vehicles to strike a third vehicle.
McKeithen says one person from a victim vehicle was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, as were the driver and passenger in the U-Haul, 21-year-old Garrett Finke of Washington and 26-year-old Richard George of Willis. Finke and George were subsequently arrested on various charges. Blinn College trustees have hired a contractor for a $1 million project for the north side of the Bryan campus. A portion of 12 acres that have gone undeveloped due to a retention creek will become a parking lot, connected by a new bridge to serve vehicular and pedestrian traffic. Blinn spokesman Brandon Webb says the paved and lighted parking lot will accommodate 300 vehicles.
They'll enter the lot from Villa Maria, heading south on Villa Maria. It's a one-way in access to the lot that kind of minimizes the impact on Villa Maria, so we don't have those cars exiting on Villa Maria. And the idea is that the cars move through there, the students park, they go to class. When they come back to their vehicle and they leave, ideally they leave out the rear portion of campus, which is off of 25th Street. And that kind of makes a smooth, straight, linear flow of traffic out of the campus.
Construction is scheduled to start in May, weather permitting, with completion targeted in time for the start of the fall semester. And the state legislature has reached the halfway point of the session. Representative John Rainey of Bryan, whose committee assignments include higher education, says they'll be deliberating proposed legislation looking to reduce costs.
Chairman Branch submitted a bill that will try to create a study group that will look at administrative cost of universities. That seems to be an area that people are concerned that it's growing faster than the teaching element, and see if we can't figure out a way to reduce that some.
Rainey says he has requested from the Higher Education Coordinating Board the last 20 years. And the annual meeting of United Way the Brazos Valley was held almost a year to the day that financial problems were first reported at the nonprofit agency.
New chief executive Andy Martin, who led the United Way for 5 years in Salina, Kansas, has been on the job here 24 days.
We're making our payments. People are paying their pledges this year. We're paying 100% of what we promised we were going to pay.
The board went through two searches before making the hire. Martin says he was very clear the board will set policy but won't be micromanagers.
They do need to be setting clear expectations of outcomes and progress, and when things go awry, then there will be actions.
Martin says he doesn't proceed until the board approves policy.
This is where I think we need to go. Do you agree? We noodle on it, we approve it, but they have to act on it, and then I implement it.
And a new slogan's been incorporated by staff and board members.
It's a new day with United Way.
Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
With your help, St. Joseph Health System could win a $10,000 grant from the Livestrong Foundation. St. Joseph's Ashley Sigmund says the money would go towards their palliative care program.
Palliative care is care for people with serious illnesses like cancer and advanced heart disease. And St. Joseph's palliative care program is a multidisciplinary approach. And we try to guide patients through the illness and connect them with community resources. And our goal is really to just help them reduce hospital readmissions because we know people would rather be at home.
Sigmund says voting will continue through next Thursday. At last check, St. Joseph was in third place, competing against hospitals from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Denver, and Oklahoma. Instructions are on our website at WTAW.com. And the city of College Station has announced the dates, entertainers, and related attractions for this year's Starlight Music Series at Wolf Pen Creek Amphitheater. Leading off May 4th are Rick Trevino and Del Castillo. Before the concert, there will be a fajita cook-off. Performing on May 25th are Ruthie Foster and Carrie Rodriguez. That coincides with the Rubber Ducky Derby fundraiser for the Children's Museum. And on stage June 8th are Midnight Express and the Razz Band. At the nearby Central Park, they'll have the annual Bluebonnet Street Rodders annual Rod Run. On our website at WTAW.com, you can find a link to the Starlight webpage. WTAW News Time is 8:10. It's 66 degrees. This Look at the News is brought to you by Merry Maids. We'll have more news for you at 8:30, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
If you work long, hard hours and it's difficult to find the time to clean up around the house, relax, because with Merry Maids, it's done. There's nothing like opening your door after a long day at work to see a clean Merry Maids home. Your entire house is spotless and you didn't even lift a finger. Merry Maids sends professionally trained, screened, and bonded professionals to your home so you can trust everything is safe and secure. Voted best in the Brazos Valley for the last 5 years. Call Merry Maids at 979-595-1111. That's 979-595-1111. Merry Maids, relax. It's done.
The Brazos Valley Symphony Society is hosting the area's first premier market shopping experience from Thursday, March 21st through Saturday, March 23rd at the Brazos Center. On Thursday evening, for just $25, you can get first pick while enjoying food from Christopher's World Grill. On March 22nd and 23rd, starting at 10 a.m., doors open to all. Tickets are $5 each and will be on sale at the door. Visit bvso.org or call the Symphony office at 979-696-6100.
Green Teams announces the return of the Big Monthly Plant Sale. This Friday from 9 till 1, Green Teams will have small indoor plants to big indoor plants at cheap prices. Plants start at just 50 cents. It's the return of Green Teams' Big Monthly Plant Sale from 9 till 1 this Friday in the Brazos County Industrial Park from 2818. Turn on Shiloh, go down a block, turn right, and Green Teams is on the left.
Brazos Valley weather forecast at 8:12. It's brought to you this morning by the folks at Thomas Moore Feed, providing Brazos County with a full line of feed, fertilizer, and gardening products. That's Thomas Moore Feed, just 3 miles south of Texas World Speedway, or at morefeed.com.
Considerable cloudiness heading our way. Temperatures today up to 75 to 80. Lots of clouds overnight, lows near 60. Clouds will be with us throughout the day Saturday. Maybe a shower or two. High Saturday afternoon, anywhere from 70 to 75. Saturday night, it turns partly cloudy. Lows will be anywhere from 45 to 50. On Sunday, it's going to be mostly sunny, a little cooler, high 60 to 65. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
Bob Cowell from the city of College Station, joins us in a few minutes as we continue with the second of a three-part series of development in the two cities. Right now we'll go to Austin, and State Rep Kyle Cassell from District 12 joins us. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
All right, getting to be busy now. You have to be in Austin instead of College Station on Friday.
Yeah, unfortunately, but, you know, we're past the halfway mark, so we're down to that 68, 67-day mark, and life is good, but it is going to be very busy.
Well, let's talk about committees and what happened in your committees this week or since we talked last.
Well, we had an interesting week in Ag Committee. We had the Backyard Farmers bill come through from Representative Rodriguez, and, you know, we have a lot of organic small farms and urban gardens that are looking for that ag evaluation that the rest of us big producers and, you know, have that help us maintain, keep food on the table for everybody at a reasonable and economic price.
Now, what kind of a beneficial situation would that be for the small organic farmer that they're not necessarily getting benefits from right now?
Well, I mean, you know, when they have a small organic farm inside the city of limits, just say Austin, Texas, look at the tax evaluation they're having to deal with.
I got you.
And, you know, as all farmers and ranchers are producing more on less, you know, that burden is tough. So, of course, they've got stringent, you know, we need to help them out. They've got a stringent five-year to prove it for 5 years that they've been producing, and then they got to maintain it. So it's a tough deal, but it should be a great opportunity for them and keep folks have that option to have a good organic product to enjoy.
Well, and again, we're in a situation where we have a lot of growing months, and if people can do that and make a little go of it, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Okay, and what else?
Oh, that's about it. Then we moved to environmental reg, and we were working on helping and making the the state more effectively regulate our industries here in Texas. House Bill 788 and 1714, just helping the TCEQ control the permitting process, fix a lot of problems with compliance in the history.
Now, within the overview of that committee, does that have to do with also the – because I understand that the insurance network that is set up to protect people on the coast with any problems they have with high water and rising water, that fund is in trouble. And is that a purview of under the purview of your committee as far as environmental is concerned?
Absolutely. I think we'll touch on that. It's looks like it's scheduled for a week or two from now, but we have not hit that issue quite yet.
Yeah, so people
but
understand.
I'm studying.
Yeah, it's you know, we don't necessarily here because we're 150 miles inland know that, but obviously storms coming in are a real problem, and a lot of people can't get insurance along the coast, and there has to be some sort of relief in there, and I guess that has to be funded properly.
Absolutely. I'm fortunate. I've got some agents in town, Jim Cashin being one that's helped keep me educated on that issue. So I continued to visit with him and other folks around the state to help keep me informed.
Kyle Cassell joining us from Austin today. Kind of an unexpected move. The House Budget Committee looks to be able to maybe put in even more money for schools, maybe undo as much as half of the deep cuts that happened in the last session. Jim Pitts coming up with some pretty good news on the House side.
You know, we are truly fortunate to have Chairman Pitts in charge of appropriations. He's done an incredible job. As you alluded to, that Senate Bill 1 was passed this week, so we look to take that bill up on April 4th, and we are appreciative and excited about the money that was added and can be added back to education.
Well, it'd be nice if you didn't have to have a special session. Certainly, this is ahead of the game to be halfway through and have the Senate bill over there for y'all to at least look at so that you can get the differences taken care of. What's going to happen between now and when we talk again next week?
Yep. Well, next week we'll have HB 5 education and HB 4 on water. So it's going to be an interesting week next week. So hopefully, like you said, we're moving fast. We're being very productive, and it's kind of unusual, they tell me around here, but I'm glad that we're, you know, got our nose down and we're working hard. So
now you mentioned the water bill. So what should happen? In other words, that'll come out of committee and be on the floor next week. Is that what we're thinking?
Yes. Chairman Ritter's got HB 4 coming to us, and you know, that talks about SWIFT, or that revolving fund for the state water projects. I think we've alluded to that over the last few weeks,
right,
and some
right.
of the projects in our area. Okay. But you know, I was a co-author on that bill, and I'm looking forward to advancing those water projects.
Great. Glad to hear that that's moving along. All right. Kyle Cassell joins us on Fridays while the House is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Kyle.
Scott, have a great day.
All right. Thank you. You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye. Visit with him on Friday. We visit with Charles Schwartner, our state senator, on Wednesdays, and then we visit with John Rainey on Thursdays, and that's the way that goes. And the segment is brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance, serving all your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Haven't heard from your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly healthcare coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VANDYKERRANKIN.com.
He has starred as the Phantom in over 3,000 performances on Broadway and across the globe.
She is Broadway's longest-running Christine.
It's the musical event of the season. Broadway stars Brad Little and Sandra Joseph are just two of the seven acclaimed Broadway singers coming to the Brazos Valley for the world premiere of Neil Berg's The Phantoms of the Opera.
Experience the finest songs and untold stories behind the great musicals and films inspired by Gaston LaRue's The Phantom of the Opera, the tale of obsession and desire that changed the Broadway musical forever.
Three-time Tony Award nominee Mark Kudish directs seven talented Broadway performers backed by a chorus of 120 in this never-before-seen musical spectacle.
Two nights only, Thursday and Friday, April 4th and 5th in Rudder Auditorium, sponsored by Mary and Tom Kirk.
Tickets on sale now.
Call 845-1234 or visit mscopus.org.
Don't miss the all-star theatrical concert celebration that is Neil Berg's The Phantoms of the Opera.
That's 845-1234.
News Talk 1620 WTAW, today part two of our visit with Bob Cowell, the Director of Planning and Development for the City of College Station. Last week we talked Northgate, which obviously a lot of people see. But in the southern part of the city limits, there's something new going on. First, Bob, if you would, Let me throw some letters at you, and you tell me what they mean, because I know that you like to use the jargon like anybody else does. MUD, what does MUD mean?
Sure, it's a municipal utility district.
Okay. And how is that different from what happens to for everybody else out
the
there?
Municipal utility district, which is a very common tool, is used in Houston, not really used here yet, or hasn't been in the past, is really a utility provider that is independent and separate from any city utility provider or any other type of utility provider. Really functions as its own little form of local government, and so it has the ability to levy taxes and rates and those types of things. And it's used a lot in Houston for areas that can't otherwise get utilities. So they establish the utilities, a developer builds those, and then this entity is established so that it can tax the people moving into the area to repay basically the debt it took to establish that utility.
TIF, that's something that we have become familiar with. We've had some TIFs here, basically. How is that?
Yeah, it's a tax increment financing, and you'll also hear us refer to it as a TIRS, which is a tax increment reinvestment zone, which is kind of the more contemporary term, I guess, that the state uses for it. That is an instance where new development generates new tax revenue, and that new tax revenue is captured, if you will, to pay back debt for improvements that were needed to actually create that new development. So again, it's usually used to pay for some type of infrastructure, sewer lines, water lines, streets, that type of thing. Pretty common in the area. City of College Station has used it very, very sparingly. Brian has had to use it on a number of occasions and had great success with it.
And then finally, the one that we just learned about here in the last, the general public has in the last couple of months, and that's the MDD.
Right. The MMD is the Municipal Management District. So kind of like the MUD, but the difference is really its primary purpose is for property owners to gather together, levy assessments, or in some cases taxes on themselves, again, to pay for some infrastructure improvements, but really more to pay for management type things, whether it's marketing. They may want some additional landscaping or signage that goes above and beyond what the city would provide. So it's not necessarily in place of city services. It's in addition to city services.
So they are still paying a city tax. This would be a premium on top of that.
Absolutely. And that would be true with the MUDs, too. You're still going to pay your county taxes or what have you, and you're going to pay a premium on top of it. The management district is the same way. The difference between the tax and the assessment is the assessment has to be the result of a direct benefit. So you fixed the street in front of my property, so I'll pay for that. The other property owners in the area would not, whereas the tax, like all taxes, is applied across all property owners, whether they receive direct benefit or not in that district.
So what we're saying is this shifts the burden to them geographically. Somebody on the other side of town is not having to pay for new fancy lampposts or whatever they might do to make that a signature
absolutely,
area.
Absolutely. And though it's a tool that we're just now trying to use in the city of College Station, interestingly, it's a tool that has been identified consistently for probably the last 15 years when the plan for Northgate and the plan for Wolfpen Creek were each established. One of the tools that were recommended in it was this, just for that reason, so that the improvements you see in Northgate that are the sidewalks or the streetlights, the improvements you see in Wolfpen would have been paid through that same mechanism. For a variety of reasons, that wasn't pursued. In the case of the medical district, that is definitely the course of action that the council's pursuing.
As time goes on, though, the older areas, I'd say right behind Southgate and then later College Hills, those areas are going to need improvements as well. Do you look at making an MMD for them, or is that just regular operation and maintenance?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've focused on these tools right now for really economic development purposes, how to create new job opportunities. There is certainly investments, and there are certainly actions being taken by the city, have been for years, on trying to address those areas that are more sort of blighted or in need of redevelopment, whether it's using federal funds for like community development block grant and so on. And I think there's going to come a time where we will need to look at some of these other tools. Certainly, the tools, especially the TIF, TERS kinds of tools, are used throughout the state, throughout the nation, to address those kinds of issues. And I have no doubt we'll end up having to look at those as well. I don't think there's any immediate plans for that, but it'd be hard to imagine that as our housing stock gets in that kind of, especially our multifamily housing stock, gets into those ages of 30, 40, 50 years, that there isn't going to be a need to address some of that or suffer the consequences of not seeing those investments made.
So am I hearing you saying cities are using these kind of instruments for not economic development again, but existing housing or existing areas and upgrading.
Yeah, I mean,
them.
Interestingly, when especially with TIFs, that was why they were established originally. I mean, originally TIFs were established in Texas as well as throughout the nation, was to come into these areas, in particularly inner cities that were blighted, not seeing any type of investment, use this tool to create some infrastructure improvements or to address facade improvements or those types of things, and actually try to stimulate redevelopment in the area. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see some tools like that explored at some point in the future. I think it'll still focus predominantly on infrastructure needs. That just tends to be what we do as a city. But there are certainly uses of it in other places for the actual multifamily housing and that type of thing.
Well, I guess to drill in one more question on this, where we're looking at the MMD now, you have two of them. These are areas that basically are in the developmental stage. If you used something like a TIF, there could be so many stakeholders in that. Let's say that you did Carter's Grove, for instance. I mean, there are a lot of people who would be stakeholders there. That would seem to be a difficult thing to be able to control.
It is. That really creates a struggle, and you're seeing that in Houston. They established recently a management district in the Montrose neighborhood. Same thing, lots and lots of stakeholders, and it's created some challenges for them to be able to operate and manage it. I think the key to it is to try to find the items that really no one can dispute benefits them. The example that's often used is you might be in an area that has more crime activities, and you could certainly use a management district to fund the hiring of additional officers to be assigned to that area. And I think if you can keep it narrow to where it's something that benefits everyone, you'll have a much better chance than trying to say, well, we're going to assess everybody, but it's really going to benefit this small group of property owners in the area. And again, other places are wrestling with it. I think at some point we will be too.
Now, would that include improving resurfacing streets, or do you feel like that still needs to be part of the general budget?
Well, you can't use those tools, the management districts. You cannot use those tools to replace what is already the city's responsibility. So if the city is already responsible for maintaining streets, you would not be able to use that. If you wanted to come in, though, however, and say what's lacking in a neighborhood is we have no sidewalks in this neighborhood, or we have, yes, we're resurfacing the streets, but they have no drainage system, then you could use the management district for those types of things. And similar, again, to what we're doing currently with our block grant funding, we're not trying to replace what the city's already doing. We're trying to add to what the city's doing.
There had been, I'm going to speak in generalities because my knowledge in this is not deep, but as I recall, there was a plan for the city of College Station to build some homes that were more affordable in some areas, and the neighborhoods pretty well got upset about that situation.
Right.
My understanding is you're out of that now. Any thought that you return to that?
Yeah, we had built, there was a time where council had instructed us to proceed, and I say us being the city staff and the community development side of things, had instructed us to build a number of affordable housing units, and we built, I believe, five of them at the time, and then there was this outcry. The council at that time said, let's stop doing that and just liquidate those. We've actually sold four of those five, and we're in the process of selling the fifth one currently. We still partner with other housing providers like Habitat for Humanities, as well as individual folks in helping them get into new housing. But we are no longer in the business of building new housing directly in the city, and I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. I think we will continue to partner with those that are building the housing, but not doing it on our own.
Okay, not like a bonding effort that would bring affordable housing
to a certain area. I would not expect that. I would expect us just to continue to use our federal dollars in the way that we do to support places like Habitat and stuff in fulfilling their mission.
So we've gone through the ones that we're familiar with. Are there any other types of funding mechanisms that are out there that we haven't touched on that College Station might look at?
Well, we talked a little bit about the MUD, and again, we haven't used one of those yet. I think that, again, it's a very common model in Houston, especially outside the city limits. We haven't had to use that much here because we've been able to annex and take in property, but I certainly could see that tool potentially becoming more common, nowhere near as common as in Houston. But if I look at south of the city, for example, down towards, say, the Speedway area or that type of thing, there are infrastructure needs that are pretty significant that are currently outside our city limits. So things like the Municipal Management District wouldn't be a tool we could easily use in that area. And you might see something like a MUD used to get sewer to that area, to get streets to that area, with the expectation that over time it would then get annexed into the city. And then what we would do is we would be creating the tool for them to be able to get the infrastructure built, get the development underway, and then we would ultimately be able to annex them in without the burden of having to have provided that infrastructure up front. So I could see that type of tool coming into play. You know, beyond that, I think we're looking at the kinds of tools that we talked about.
And let's touch on Welburn for a minute, because a couple of weeks ago, the first contract was let to do some road improvements, mm-hmm. and obviously there are going to need to be infrastructure improvements within now this the city of College Station. So do you see that there might be some sort of an instrument for Welburn?
Yeah, we had recently, as you mentioned, at the annexation, we were required to extend sewer service to the area, and that project's in design right now. And we were required to take some of the gravel roads and bring them up to at least kind of a chip seal asphalt type surface, and we're in the process of doing that. We also just wrapped up a year-long neighborhood planning process with the residents in the area, and there are certainly projects that have come out of that process. Council hopefully will be approving that plan in the next month or so. I don't know if what type of tool will be used to implement that. There are certainly tools like the ones we just discussed that could be. The improvements have been kept small enough that I believe most of those could be handled through the general fund. The area is at least partially eligible for our federal funding as well, and so we may target some of it in that area. But, you know, depending on where they want to go, you could look at something like a management district. Probably too small of an area to do that, but definitely some interesting ideas are coming out of that process.
Bob Cowell is the Director of Planning and Development for the City of College Station. This is part two of a three-part interview with him, and he'll join us again next week. Thanks for the time, Bob.
Thank you.
This could be a good day for Wall Street. This is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger. The stock market futures suggest the last session of the week will get off to a higher start. Better than expected results from Nike, Tiffany, and Darden restaurants are helping to boost investor sentiment. The recovery in the housing sector is boosting demand for plywood. Prices have jumped 45% over the last year. Plywood suppliers are struggling to ramp up production after they cut back during the recession. Google will be active in Myanmar, working with businesses in the once-isolated nation to develop the telecom infrastructure there. Google Executive Chairman Eric Schmidt predicts telecommunications will be the most profitable business as Myanmar opens up to foreign investment. Today is the last day for suitors to submit buyout offers for Dell if they hope to derail the deal for the computer maker to be bought by founder Michael Dell and his backers. And Madison Square Garden is reportedly considering options for the cable music network Fuse. The New York Post says Fuse could be sold or MSG could bring in new partners. Jeff Bellinger, Dow Jones Money Report.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
It's deer season, and that can mean only one thing. Huge savings on John Deere utility tractors. Get 0% financing for 60 months and up to $1,500 off new 30 to 75 horsepower 3 and 5E open station tractors. Hurry in before these incredible deer season deals disappear. Offer ends April 30th, 2013, subject to approved credit on John Deere financial installment plan cash off with purchase of 2 qualifying implements. Restrictions apply. See your participating dealer for details.
Find the Sioux Falls Prater location nearest you online at cptractor.com or find us at myjohndeeredealer.com.
The Dow Jones Money Report is brought to you by ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Visit abchomeandcommercialservices.com.
The Aggie Report is next.
Texas Mutual Insurance Company salutes the equipment guy. No, the high fives after a touchdown aren't about celebrating anything you do, and yet you're part of every victory. Replacing cleats for better footing, tightening chin straps to prevent injuries, handling problems before they hurt the team. Equipment guy, you do all right in workers' comp. As a workers' comp carrier, Texas Mutual works behind the scenes to help companies keep their employees safe and in the game. Come see us at TexasMutual.com.
The number 9 ranked Texas A&M women's basketball team earned a number 3 seed. The NCAA Women's Basketball Championships, the field of 64, announced earlier this week. A&M, which hosts the first and second rounds, making its 10th all-time NCAA tournament appearance and was one of 31 automatic bids due to winning the SEC tournament earlier this month. A&M, one of only 4 teams to be selected as a number 4 seed or higher for 7 straight years. A&M was was one of seven SEC teams to make it to the big dance, along with second-seeded Tennessee, second-seeded Kentucky, the four-seed South Carolina, a four-seed Georgia, six-seed LSU, an eight-seed Vanderbilt, and the SEC tied with the Big 12 for the second-most teams in the tournament, next to the Big East, eight teams in the field. And again, they will play on Saturday, tomorrow afternoon. That game will tip at 3 o'clock. The Aggies go to win. They would play the winner of Nebraska, Chattanooga at Reed next Monday night at 8:30. The game's to be televised on ESPN2. I'm Dave South, and that's your Aggie Report.
WTAW News time is 8:34. It's 66 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by SWBC Mortgage. Experience the SWBC difference and their commitment to personal service, on-time closings, and seamless transactions. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. You have until next Thursday to go online and vote for St. Joseph Health System in a LiveStrong Foundation competition to get $10,000. St. Joseph's Ashley Sigmund says the money would go towards its palliative care program, which connects patients with cancer and other serious illnesses with community resources to reduce hospital readmissions.
The LiveStrong Foundation supports programs that already exist in communities, so for St. Joseph to even be named as a finalist is affirmation to the work that we're already doing here.
On our website at WTAW.com is a link to the online balloting. At last check, St. Joseph's was in third place against hospitals from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Denver, and Oklahoma. And it's a new day at United Way of the Brazos Valley. That's part of the new direction taken by an expanded board as a new chief executive goes to work.
Today marks 1 year since it was first reported United Way had financial problems affecting funding of 25 nonprofits in the seven-county service area. Board Chairman Will Brown says they and the agencies will be more accountable.
Instead of maybe 5-10 years ago, we used to say to a donor, look, we gave all your money to these wonderful organizations. Well, now we want to be able to say, look, we gave all this money to these wonderful organizations, and look at what they accomplished. They accomplished these really important things that we know are important for our organization.
Brown says some of the shortfall can be made up by contributions to a $100,000 challenge grant from the Bryan family.
We've got another $50,000 we need to raise this spring, and that's something we'll really be looking for folks to join us and step up. And that's the kind of money that we're going to use to try and fill some of this gap.
Brown says state employees gave $625,000, 15% more than expected. The community campaign's closing in on their goal of $700,000. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Two men were arrested yesterday morning after evading police and causing a four-vehicle wreck outside of Sam Houston Elementary School. Officer Kelly McKeithen with the Bryan Police says the driver of a suspicious U-Haul, 21-year-old Garrett Finke of Washington, and his passenger, 26-year-old Richard George of Willis, hit two other cars head-on, causing one of the cars to hit a third.
There was one person in the victim vehicles that was transported for non-life-threatening injuries, and the driver and passenger in the U-Haul truck were both transported to St. Joseph's to tend to their minor injuries, and then they were arrested.
McKeithen says Finke was arrested for evading and resisting, and George was arrested on College Station warrants. And the future look of the Blinn College Bryan campus begins in May. Trustees meeting in Bryan this week selected the contractor for a $1 million project that adds 300 paved and lighted parking spaces on the north side, as well as a bridge connecting it to the rest of campus.
It does open up an entire section of about 12 acres of land that we can then develop in the future with possibly other buildings, as our master plan will reveal when we finalize that here in the coming months.
Blinn spokesman Brandon Webb says a master plan committee can also consider building on a gravel parking lot next to the academic building.
The thought there, as our master plan is in the early stages right now being developed, is potentially that flat piece of ground that's currently a temporary lot could become the next major building on campus.
Entry to the new lot will be off Villa Maria, and traffic will exit to 25th Street. And the costs of running state universities will be studied by at least one committee in the Texas House. Representative John Rainey of Bryan is on the Higher Education Committee.
I have requested from the Higher Education Coordinator Board kind of a map of chart showing what those increases have been over the last, I think they sent us yesterday something from 1994 forward. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at that and just see what those numbers actually are, because I don't know personally, and I got that information, then we're going to have to tweak it a little just to see what those costs are doing.
Rainey says the committee chairman has filed a bill calling for a study group to look into the growth of administrative expenses. And entertainers have been announced for this year's Starlight Music Series. Three free concerts will be held at Wolfpen Creek Amphitheater in College Station. Details are on our website at WTAW.com. The first show is May 4th with Rick Trevino and Del Castillo following a fajita cook-off. The show on May 25th with Ruthie Foster and Carrie Rodriguez takes place during the Children's Museum Rubber Ducky Fundraiser. Also performing June 8th are Midnight Express and the Raz Band, the same weekend as the annual Rod Run at Central Park, hosted by the Bluebonnet Street Rodders. WTOW News Time is 8:39. It's 67 degrees. This look at the news is brought to you by SWBC Mortgage. We'll have more news for you at noon, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Hi, I'm Veronica Mitchell. At SWBC Mortgage, we offer competitive interest rates and an array of mortgage loan products. We're local lenders with over 48 years of combined experience in making home loans right here in Bryan College Station. We take pride in serving our community, and we'll work hard for you. So whether you're buying or refinancing a home, choose a lender who put your interest first. SWBC Mortgage. Call us at 693-0481. 693-0481.
NMLS number 228469. Loan subject to credit approval. Rate subject to change daily. Equal housing lender.
Common sense, horse sense, street smarts, no matter what you want to call it, it boils down to sound, practical judgment. And at RV Station in Bryan, you don't have big city overhead. That simply means you can get that dream RV and save thousands of dollars when compared to the competition. Philosophy is simple at RV Station. The best price in the country on the country's best brands. And right now at RV Station in Bryan, time for your family to enjoy this 2013 Jayco J-Flight 267 bunkhouse. It sleeps eight. It's just $199 a month. And don't forget, RV Station has factory-certified service techs and one of the largest parts inventories in the area to keep your RV in peak condition. Get to RVStationOnline.com and choose from over 250 campers or come by and visit RV Station at 2815 North Earl Rudder Freeway in Bryan.
Tired of leaving town to attend meetings? The Brazos County Expo is waiting to host your next event, located in the heart of the Brazos Valley and in the center of the Metropolitan Triangle. We can accommodate any size group up to a 2,500-person conference. Interested in a trade show? We can handle that too, up to 150 booths. Host your meetings right here at home at the Brazos County Expo. Let our experts help plan your next meeting. Visit BrazosCountyExpo.com. They're your meetings, too. Bring it home to the Brazos County Expo.
Green Teams announces the return of the Big Monthly Plant Sale. This Friday from 9 to 1, Green Teams will have small indoor plants to big indoor plants at cheap prices. Plants start at just 50 cents. It's the return of Green Teams' Big Monthly Plant Sale from 9 to 1 this Friday in the Brazos County Industrial Park from 2818. Turn on Shiloh, go down a block, turn right, and Green Teams is on the left.
Easter is fast approaching, and now's the time to capture those special Easter moments. Call Specialties Photography today to reserve your child's Easter portraits with live Easter bunnies. Special includes 15 shots in studio, 2 5x7s, and 8 wallets from your favorite pose, all for only $39.95, with all additional sheets only $14.95. Sessions available now through April 5th. Call Specialties Photography to reserve your Easter special or visit specialphoto.com. Specialties Photography, your locally owned and operated professional portrait studio.
Experience a piece of history at the Museum of the American GI Open House Fundraiser. This Friday and Saturday, tour their World War II living history and vehicle displays as reenactors tell you the history and function of the vehicles and displays. The two-day event concludes with a World War II battle at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Go out Friday, 9 to dusk, and Saturday, 9 to the conclusion of the World War II battle at 3. Enjoy free parking at Santa's Wonderland with a shuttle ride to the site. For information, call the Museum of the American GI, 255-3675.
Get slam dunk savings at Allen Honda during the March Sales Event Madness. Take advantage of 0.9% for up to 36 months on the 2013 Accord, Civic, Ridgeline, and CRV. Or get 0.9% for up to 60 months on the Odyssey, Pilot, Cross Tour, and Fit. Allen Honda has a great selection of inventory during the March Sales Event Madness. So hurry in now to Allen Honda. Allen's got your Honda.
843 News Talk 1620 WTAW. Just check some weather. It's brought to you by Skyline Communications. In business for your business for 30 years. Call Charles Culver at 775-2929, 775-2-WAY.
More clouds than sunshine for today, but temperatures will continue to turn warmer. Highs will be 75 to 80 this afternoon. Lots of clouds overnight, a low of 60. Clouds for tomorrow with the chance of a shower. Highs will be 70 to 75. It'll be partly cloudy tomorrow night, 45 to 50. On Sunday, we'll have sunshine. It does turn cooler by the end of the weekend. High Sunday afternoon, 60 to 65. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
So, you know, as soon as I found out it was National Goof Off Day, I've really been working hard to try to find a way to make this job even easier.
Huh?
You could get a Facebook account.
Yeah, no. That ain't happening.
I'm just saying.
I know. But anyway, so I thought I found an opening, and by golly, I did. As we were discussing this morning, Something You Should Know discussed nosebleeds and how to stop them. Mm. And I said, we'd discussed this before, and it was longer ago than I thought. I was able to find it. It was May the 18th, 2006
wow.
is when we talked about it. And
see,
fact,
your mind's not going.
Yeah, really. Well, no, what happened is I searched it in the computer, and we had it in the archives. Now,
oh, my gosh, I was in college.
We'll preface this by talking about Tom had mentioned, as Tom will so often in an offhanded way, one day that he had multiple wallets, which Chase and I thought was really pretty weird.
I thought you were going to say multiple nosebleeds.
No, and we'll discuss the nosebleeds in just a minute, but... then what we did is we opened up the phones, and Chase and I found out that we were in the minority, that there are many people out there who have multiple wallets. So we had talked about that, and it's referenced in this little segment here. This is about 2.5 minutes, and this is, as we discussed the last time we ran this show that had to do with the nosebleeds.
So we can goof off while you're playing something that's already happened.
Exactly, right.
All right,
yeah. The name of the book is The People's Pharmacy Guide.
Yeah.
People's Pharmacy Guide. This guy was interviewed this morning on a show that we ran a little more than an hour ago. And it's about, that's where we told you about the pepper and the cut, okay? Now, this one has to do with, and I know you're not going to believe it. That's why I wanted to play it for you if you didn't get to hear it. This one has to do with how do you stop a nosebleed, okay?
Yeah.
The most astonishing home remedy that we've probably ever heard was to put a big ring of keys, you know, like your car keys, your house keys, and whatever other keys you've got on that house, and put it down your back. I mean, literally underneath your shirt, and let it just fall down. I cannot tell you how it works. All I can say is that we have heard from dozens of people that this is a remedy that is astonishingly effective for nosebleeds. And I have to admit, I've tried it and it works.
And
see, my thought is, it's been...
that's why I wanted to play that.
It's been 7 years.
All right, I'm not buying that. Tom, get a nosebleed. Come on.
Yeah, give me a nosebleed right now.
You know, of all the maladies that occur to humans, that's one thing I've never had.
Really?
Is a nosebleed.
Wait a minute.
I have never... As far as I can recall,
okay.
And I think you'd remember.
Now
if
you're
you
sounding like a former president. Well, now everybody go ahead.
And yeah, next thing you're going to be asking us what is his.
Yeah.
That's one of those things in life that you remember. I don't ever remember having a nosebleed. I don't remember even, the school nurse calling Tom's mom and say, you need to come get Tom. He has a nosebleed.
I don't believe my mother would. Chase, did they call your mom? She worked at the school and you had a nosebleed, they wouldn't call
her. If I had a nosebleed and they called my mom, they'd be like, well, is he dead?
Because
if he's not, send him back to class.
Yeah. But no, I don't think I've ever had a nosebleed.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Does that make me a freak of nature?
It's a little odd. I have to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, between that and
having
multiple...
qualifies you for being a freak of nature.
But there's plenty of other things. I said it before you did.
Yeah, between that and multiple wallets, I'm not sure. But, I mean, it's just...
I believe you all were in the minority on that from the phone calls we got.
I know. All right. Yes.
Yeah, I want to know what these people were doing when they discovered these remedies.
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, the pepper thing, I could see. But, I mean, what, as a last resort, you grab the wad of keys and run it down your back? Hello?
You guys need to call and submit Tom's method of wearing two wallets and not getting those bleeds.
Well, that's a, you know. Years ago.
That's awesome. I got sort of confused halfway between and thought it was the real you
talking. Because you weren't goofing off like we were supposed to be.
Yeah, you were paying attention. See, don't ever pay attention.
I mean,
well, you know what, though?
I was playing on Facebook.
I guess I'm Tom's little, not soulmate, but his reincarnation. I've never had a nosebleed.
Okay. You're the second person I know. Tom was the first one.
I've never
Can
had
we call
one.
Her TJ?
Well, yeah, Tom Jr.
Tom Jr.
Yeah, we could do that.
No.
But anyway, I'm glad we had that. And actually, I think the calls continued through the morning as we discussed that. Because, again, the concept of laying keys down your back is going to stop a nosebleed.
That's just weird.
My thought that I accidentally started saying over the recording.
I know, that's why I had to turn your pot down, because then you're really going to confuse people. But.
Was that it's been 7 years. They still haven't figured out why putting a key down your shirt.
Well, it sounds all we're waiting on is a grant. You know, some school can get a grant. Hello.
Yeah, I can see Tom wearing two wallets, but I don't know that I can see Kat wearing two wallets to prevent nosebleeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't have enough money to wear two wallets.
Well, you must have done something else in your life that caused you to not have nosebleeds. You know what I'm saying?
I've just never.
All right. Yeah,
I've broken my nose more times than you've had nosebleeds.
Yeah, really. That's just saying. All right, here we go. Interesting article in the Washington Times about forgiveness. Springtime, time to start fresh. And they give you five people to forgive. Five people to have a one-time shot.
I forgive you, Scott DeLucia.
Oh, thanks.
I forgive you, Kevin O'Connor.
Okay. Here are the ones they suggest. Your best friend. Your best friend. You know, the one that rarely answers your texts and only calls when they need something. Forgive that person. Best friends are hard to come by. Forgive your mom. She said you could stand to lose a few pounds. Well, forgive her, okay? Or she's saying, you know, when are you going to get married? Well, forgive her, okay. Your significant other. All men are going, yes, yes. Anyway.
Please.
That stranger, you know, the one that didn't hold the door open for you or the one that cut you off in traffic, forgive them. And then finally, forgive yourself. The bad relationship that you're in, the fight that you had with your parent, the credit card that you maxed out, whatever it is, forgive yourself.
Why was mother on this list but not father?
I have no answer. Don't know. I can't tell you. That's
I would have said parent.
Hey, Aggieland, have you ever had a cowboy tell you, pardon my dust? I didn't think so. Well, Sterling Auto Group is under construction, and to make room, we're offering the lowest prices on every new vehicle in stock. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead. Make your deal.
Sterling Auto Group is currently undergoing renovations. And to make room, all inventory must go, regardless of profit. Plus, Sterling Auto Group will terminate the lease or loan on your old gas guzzler, even if you owe thousands more than it's worth, regardless of make, miles, and condition. So you can drive home a new Buick, GMC, or Cadillac for less. Get $10,000 off any select new 2013 GMC Sierra truck in stock. And get 2 years, 24,000 miles scheduled maintenance. Plus, get 0% APR for 72 months or $5,000 cash back on select models. Nobody delivers more for less than Sterling Auto Group. Sterling Auto Group, 205 North Earl Rudder Freeway in Bryan. Call 979-846-5555 or online at sterlingautogroup.net. Plus TTL and fees with approved credit, 0 APR, $13.89 per thousand finance. Trade balance carried to new loan. All incentives to dealer.
Children learn to read on the laps of their parents. Did you know nearly two-thirds of low-income families have no children's books at home? So here's how you can help. Become a part of the Half Price Books Half Pint Library program today. Bring a new or gently used children's book to any Half Price Books between now and March 31st. Drop it off in the Half Pint Library donation box. It's that simple. At the end of the drive, Half Price Books will match your donations and distribute to local organizations for kids in need. Help us share the love of reading with young children and their families. Remember, one good book can help inspire a lifelong reader. And only with your contributions can a Half Pint Library become a reality. To learn more about the Half Price Books Half Pint Library program or to find a store near you, visit hpb.com. The Half Pint Library Book Drive. It's kids' books from the community for the community.
Shaquille O'Neal for new Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. New Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now, advance past pain and get on with living.
New Icy Hot Advanced, available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
I'm speaking with Ron Smith with Aggieland Carpet One.
When people are replacing carpets, that's really easy to do.
That's right. We take care of everything. We do all of the service side of it as well. We can come into your home, move your furniture, take out the old carpet, clean, and even disinfect your floor under the carpet before we put in the new carpet.
Now, why do you do that? I've never heard of anyone doing that, but you have some different guarantees here at Carpet One.
That's right. We have a great product that we spray down before we install the new carpet, kill any odors or bacteria, things like that that might be. A lot of people these days are concerned about the health of the home. These products really do a great job at making sure your home is as safe and healthy as it can be.
Well, we're located right on Highway 6 next to the Harley-Davidson dealership near the Barron Road overpass.
I just think everyone should come into Carpet One today.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. It's 5 till. All right. Now I got to go back to work. Eagles are going out on tour this summer to promote their HBO documentary, History of the Eagles. If you like the Eagles, I more than like the Eagles. This is a really pretty good thing. It's about, I think, 6 hours. And
wow.
One thing I did not know that I learned in watching this is, what was the first number one song the Eagles had? You have any idea?
I don't know.
I mean, and they had a few. Take It to the Limit.
Really?
By Randy Meisner is the one who sings that. I thought that was, I learned a little bit. I didn't learn a great deal, but I learned a little bit, and that I did learn that. Anyway, they're going to do 11 arena dates beginning July the 6th in Louisville, Kentucky. And wrapping it up in Bethel Woods, New York on the 25th. And that's on the side of the original Woodstock Festival. Tickets will go on sale on the 28th. The documentary will be released on DVD and Blu-ray at the end of next month. Each version is a 3-disc set with both parts of the film. And for the first time, Eagles Live at Capitol Center, March 1977. That was filmed in D.C. It's been bootlegged a lot, but this is the original version. And
cool.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of fun. Okay, time now for our public service reminder from the Department of Questionable Homeowner Decisions. Comes now from Bowie County, Texas. Bowie County, I think that's up there in East Texas.
Home of Alsops.
Yep. Home burned down after a woman saw a snake, okay, go into the backyard. She sees the snake, decides to drench it in gasoline.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Set it on fire. The snake is burning and slithers into a brush pile next to her home.
Not good.
Catches on fire. Burns the house. A complete loss. No word on whether or not the woman will face charges. So there you go. There's your homeowner reminder of just using good judgment.
What is that number? Never underestimate the stupidity of?
Just any human beings, whether U.S. Americans or anyplace else. I guess this has never happened, but this is a pretty neat deal. A travel company called VeryFirstTwo.com is offering the ultimate trip around the world. For $1.27 million, travelers will get a tour of 949 of the most desirable spots in the world, from the pyramids in Egypt, Taj Mahal in India, Tower of London. All accommodations will be first class.
Do you think people will be burned out afterwards? Or do you think they'll have an increased admiration for planet Earth?
I don't know, and I don't know how long it is, but there are people who've got that kind of money that they can spend, and why not have somebody make all the arrangements for you? I mean, think about all the conditions that you're going through, all the countries you're going through. You'd have to search out the best hotels, the best way to travel, and they do all that for you. Maybe it's happened before, but this is the first time I've seen a story on it.
I think that'd be cool.
Yep. If Peeps and Cadbury cream eggs are too low rent for you, for your Easter candy-loving taste buds.
Hey, they go in the Wall Street Journal. That's pretty high, you know.
What goes in the Wall Street Journal?
Every year they have a contest of the Peeps doing, like, political rally pictures or famous things from the year.
Really?
So, yeah, people shouldn't look down on Peeps.
I had no idea that they did that.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, continue with
you
your...
You should. They're Peeps are not healthy for you. They're not good for you in any way, shape, or form.
They're good for your heart.
Oh, no, they're not. Anyway, they feel as long as you don't consume them, they're fine. Anyway, Upper West Side, New York, they've got a bakery called Sugar and Plum. They've created the $1,000 chocolate egg with dark milk and white chocolate, along with marzipan and flowers and ladybugs that look like angry birds. It's 3 feet tall. It weighs 22 pounds.
That's a lot of chocolate.
That is a lot of chocolate. You're not going to be able to eat that real quickly.
This is not as much sugar as in a Cadbury egg, although I love those too. You just need a big glass of milk.
See, there's no, see, and again, there's nothing healthy about that.
Or some tea without sugar.
Yeah, there you go. A little programming note. This is kind of interesting. A pretty cool episode of Hot in Cleveland coming up. It'll be you like that cool hot.
What's hot in Cleveland?
It'll be well, no, it's a television show
with Betty White.
Yeah, no, but I mean, what is hot?
I don't watch the show.
Cleveland.
So here's what they're going to do: they're going to make it a Mary Tyler Moore reunion show.
Oh, cool!
Betty White and Georgia Engel are already starring on the show, but they'll have Valerie Harper, Cloris Leachman, and Mary Tyler Moore to join them. So that's kind of fun if you like that. And obviously, Valerie Harper is on borrowed time, so. I guess that's one of the reasons they decided that they wanted to do that. All right, on this date in history, the U.S. American Congress outlawed polygamy. Can't do that anymore. 1978, Carl Willen, the founder of the